everybody. Thanks for listening to Marriage Therapy Radio. This is Zach, and I'm here with Laura. It's Christmas week. I'm sharing some very sad news in this episode. It's not tragic. It's tragic to me, but it won't be tragic to you. We spent way too much time talking about dogs, but mostly today we're talking about sex and how we like to talk to clients about sex and how we like to have clients talk to one another about sex. So stick around. But first, I want to tell you a story about a Viking named Rudolph the Red. One day he looked out the window and he said, "It's going to rain." And his wife said, "How do you know?" And he said, "Rudolph the Red knows rain, dear." All right, stick around.
Hey, what's up, Zach?
You named your dog. That happened.
That did happen. I'm actually I don't feel awful, but I didn't win. I came in second. Our son had decided.
You know
that
what second place is? Second place is the first loser.
Okay, well then I'm the first loser. But I was voting for Whiskey as the dog name because I think it's kind of fun to say. And my husband had voted for Dexter, which I thought was very clever because he's a hunting dog. And if you guys all remember, Dexter is a serial killer show. And then my son decided to call him Dash. And I couldn't, it was like the first actual name because he was sort of just slinging together a whole bunch of consonants with like a vowel in there. And he's like, "That's a great name." No, 3-year-old, that's not a great name. So Dash is the winner. And it makes sense because Dash is fast. And I'm sure this puppy will end up being fast. You don't like the name, do you?
I don't. I don't like dogs, so it doesn't matter to me. I don't have an opinion one way or the other.
Huh. Okay.
I don't have the gene. And you know who's laughing right now? Jason. Because Jason, by the way, he edits our podcast, and we've had this discussion maybe a dozen times.
About not having the gene, the dog gene?
I don't have the gene. I really don't have it. I mean, people who love dogs and they like love on their dogs and they put bumper stickers up their dogs on their car.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Like no part of me identifies with that at all. And it used to make Jason and his wife really sad. Well, it used to make his wife really sad. But
because
then
they have the gene, their dog people?
Oh yeah. They have the gene for sure. Yeah. They like dog sit other dogs.
Yeah. See, I've been actually trying to warm up my dog gene because I don't think I have the dog gene. I don't think I have the pet gene. But what I've been doing is I've been dog sitting for the neighborhood because I work from home. And I think everyone's privy to that. So they're basically like just dropping animals off at my door. And they're like, just keep an eye on them. So I have these like therapy dogs that hang out with me. And I've been warming up that dog gene. I don't think I have it. I'm hoping that my son has it. And I'm willing. Well, yeah. We'll see.
Indeed. I will broaden it and say, actually, I don't have the pet gene.
Yeah.
And when Rebecca and I first met, it was actually one of our deal breakers when we were first getting to know each other. Cause we were like talking about, do we want to have kids and where do we want to live and what's it? And then it was like, what do you think about pets? And I was like, nope. And she was like, nope. And I was like, yes.
Oh, so you were like, both, nope. It is a, match made in heaven.
Match
have the girls ever asked for something like a gerbil? Have they ever done
no,
anything
because
like
listen
that?
To this, because listen to this, we have been practicing and ingraining them since the beginning that it's just no is the answer. Can we have a pet? No. Nope.
Okay.
Gerbil? Right. No. Crab? Nope. If it's alive, you cannot have it. If it's a rock, you can have it.
Do you think that they have the gene? Do you think that the moment that they move out of your house,
think
they're
so.
Going?
Yeah. I don't think so. I think
so. It's
they
not
are
actually
fine.
A gene because you have nurtured the. You've nurtured it out of them. It's not a gene.
Yes.
Then. Yeah.
In that case.
In case you're wondering if it's nature versus nurture, Zach is proving it's nurture.
Well, except maybe. My brother has the gene, and we have the same parents, so that's an interesting thing. That makes it nature, right?
The debate continues.
Yeah. Anyway, this is not what we were going to talk about. Although
no.
I do have a really good story that I thought about. I think I already told the story. Did I tell the story one time about how I did something wrong to the dog and I told my mom about it?
Literally, I think you have. That was like last episode. Yes.
That was like last episode. Yeah. Anyway.
And it's not even the first time.
Whatever I did
I've
to the dog,
it.
I did not do on purpose.
It was an accident.
Because I don't feel strongly enough about a dog to wish it any harm either. I just don't have any interest at all.
You don't want to care for a dog.
I don't want to have any opinion about a dog in any
way. I'm going to have a theory here. When the girls were young, did you enjoy the period before they started talking and communicating with you?
I enjoy every minute I have with my
daughters.
That's
bullshit. I every think you are a liar. You are such a liar. That no. said no parent ever out of truth. You get like a glass of wine and a parent, and they will tell you that there were moments where they just hated being a parent.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, I have really sad news.
I know. I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
I'm really sad.
Let's grieve it. Let's grieve it with our...
My pub is closing.
So did you find out why?
They just can't survive in the current economy the way that they are set up. That's the bottom line. But
My
I've been going there
they
for...
they don't own the building and the building rent.
I've been going there for 8 years pretty
and
consistently.
And I was actually doing the math. So, and you said, how did you find out how much you spent in those 8 years?
Because I track all my money in Quicken. I every single dollar I spend, I put in Quicken. So I know exactly what I spent on everything forever for like the last 20 years.
So if
so
you...
I just said, how much did I spend at Naked City all time? And I got a number, and that's the number.
And it was high.
It's pretty high.
It was high, but it also included food, and it was for a lot of purposes, it was like rent, free rent, because you would go and you would work there. That's where you would do your best writing. Okay.
And that's where we met. That's where we met Jameson and Jacqueline.
That's where you meant, that's where Zach said, we have to talk about something serious. People, they want to listen to this podcast, figure out how to fix their marriages.
I know, but it's the holidays. It's the holidays. And my pub is closing on Christmas Eve. I mean, it's my wife and I are currently in a debate, and I'll let our listeners weigh in on this, although they won't hear it until after it's over, about whether or not I should go to church or last call on Christmas Eve.
Oh, what time is last call?
4 o'clock.
In the morning?
No,
at
in
night.
The afternoon. And that's when church starts.
Well, on Christmas Eve, because Christmas Eve services are usually the late services. That's where you get
unless you go to a church with like a ton of kids, and then they have to do it in the middle of the day so that you can put your kids to bed and do Santa.
I'm going to side with whatever Rebecca says on this one.
She wants me to go to last call. So I think thanks for jumping on that one.
You're welcome. That didn't go exactly as planned. All right. Well, here's what we're talking about. We're going to talk about sex.
Yes.
Because.
Yes.
It actually, okay, so this came about where I had a client that I think is misinformed. The client was under the impression, and I think actually a lot of people are misinformed about sex. And just starting off with one misconception is the amount of sex that other people are having around them. And it's interesting, there's a book that was written a while back by I grew up with her daughter. But she's a sociologist, and she's one of, I think, four authors in this book. It's called The Normal Bar. And one of the chapters that I found most fascinating in The Normal Bar was taking a look cross-culturally at the amount of sex that couples are having, whether they be in a committed relationship, they're married, whatever it might be. And people are quite misinformed. They think that everybody else is having more sex than them. But on average, how much do you think, if you're just a guess, how much sex do you think the average couple is having on a let's say like a weekly?
I think probably 4 times a week.
Okay. That's probably what a lot of people are thinking, is that other couples are having sex a lot more than they are. Because what ended up happening is that most people, if you ask them face to face, how much sex are you having? They will inflate the number. But when you start doing research studies and you have people mail in their answers, the numbers go down, which is very interesting. So on average, couples are actually having sex about once a week. Now, a little bit more, a little bit less, but the average is once a week. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this is that I had a couple where the assumption was that other people were having sex 6 times a week. And that was making them feel inadequate, or like there was something wrong with them. And there's nothing wrong with them at all. And it's really interesting that couples sort of define sex very differently. And I mean, when I say sex, what do you think of?
Well, I mean, I have this conversation often enough where there's a kind of a difference between this idea of how frequently we should have it. But then the question I have is, like, what counts, you know? If one of them wants to have sex 14 times a week and one of them wants to have sex, you know, once a week, well, let me just say twice a week, because that makes my math easier. then you've got this difference of 12, right? You've got 12, you got this delta of 12. And so you have to, first of all, make that smaller so that they're, neither of them is feeling rejected or you know, used on the other side. But again, like, what counts? Does it have to be this sort of marathon, acrobatic, mutually orgasmic activity, or can it be snuggling, or can it be sleeping naked, or can it be oral sex, or can it be, you know, watching a sexy movie, or can it be making out in the kitchen? Like,
totally.
Because I think people get tied up on this idea of how often do we have sex without really understanding what sex is meant to be between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I agree.
I don't mind saying this as the man too. I think this argument most often comes up because the man wants to have sex more often than the woman.
Sure.
And what he means is he wants to have an orgasm inside of her body. And I don't think he cares whether it's her vagina or her mouth, or in some cases her butt or her anal cavity. But I think when this comes up, it is because he wants to have an orgasm inside of his partner.
Okay, because he's not talking about, I asked this question, is when you say sex, do you mean masturbation? Does it mean, can it be solo orgasm, or does it have to be an orgasm with your partner? And you're saying that sex is often just having an orgasm with your partner, and it doesn't really matter.
I'm saying that when I hear this in my office, it is most often the man complaining that he doesn't orgasm often enough inside of his partner. That's the cleanest, quickest, shortest version of the complaint that I can articulate in this.
Okay. Yeah. And the complaint that I hear most often in my office, and I'll represent the females, is she's just not in the mood. And,
want to be a depository for his orgasm. Like,
sure.
That, you know, that's not fun. I mean, maybe it's fun, but it doesn't sound like there's much in it for her in that case.
Right. Yeah. I had this debate, and I wanted to turn it around because the question that comes up, and we're just going to kind of go with this scenario that the male wants to have more sex and the female doesn't need or want it as often. The question that I kept asking is this mutually beneficial? Like, does sex mean that she gets to have an orgasm? Does sex mean that if you want to have sex more often, is it so that you want her to be pleasing you? And I keep coming back to, like, what is it in it for her? I'm just wondering, how is she going to want to have sex? Is it because
how is it going to be edifying for her? I mean, that's an important question. And see, I like that we were joking a little bit earlier about that song, right? Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. I think this is the third week in a row that we've been singing on the podcast, but we're not talking about you and me, but I do like that what you and I are doing right now is
talking,
normalizing a conversation that is often really fraught for couples. And when I think that they need to or should talk to one another about sex, I generally say, and you ought to do it at a coffee shop or in the car or while walking around the neighborhood, not in the bed, not after you've just had an experience that didn't go well, not in the heat of the moment when one of you is complaining and the other one's defending. I mean, I think you got to normalize this conversation so that you can expose things like, well, what counts and how can you get me in the mood and how can you, and how much time do we have and do we need to schedule it and does that feel gross and scheduling kind of feels like, but maybe we have to because we're busy and if we don't schedule it, we won't. And I think, it's so easy when that conversation gets buried or just sort of hidden inside your mind to begin to build resentment and misunderstanding. And so,
I totally agree.
And along with that, I've been trying to help couples understand how to love each other, like how to train their lover to love them well. And generally, I'm talking about like, do you need to express more gratitude? Do you need to express more fondness? Do you need to buy more flowers? Do you need to load the dishwasher properly? And people were kind of like, well, why do we have to work so hard to do that? And I'm like, but you don't understand. If I told you to do that in bed to help train your lover to be a better lover, we would do that. Kiss me here. Don't kiss me there. Pinch me. Bite me. Don't pinch me. Don't bite me. Faster, slower, up, down, back, forth. Like we want to, why wouldn't we train our lover to love us better, both in the bed and also in the emotional world? Sorry, that was about to leave my brain, so I had to grab it before.
Well, we did this. I had mentioned this at one of the exercises that I have couples do to start to feel more comfortable with training their partner is to give their partner a back massage. This is a non-sexual back massage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You did that. You did it at the workshop. And it was brilliant. Yep, it was brilliant. Yeah. Yep.
Thank you. But, you know, if you want to do this as a couple, and maybe you're just not a vocal person, maybe you're not great at giving your partner direction in bed. Like, the most hint you're going to give them is like when your breath quickens and your partner's guessing, maybe they're enjoying it because their breath starts
maybe
to
they
quicken.
Like that. Yeah.
Maybe they like it. But if we are trying to train our partner to be a better lover so that we can have our needs met, then we need to become much more vocal so that our partner's not guessing. Because if they're trying to guess, that means that they are not connecting with you. They're distracted. Mm-hmm. They're trying to read your body language. And so here's what I would have couples do. Put your hands on your partner, and your partner is going to be the only one that's going to say anything. And I want for you to just start giving your partner a massage. And the partner, the person who's receiving the massage, you tell them where you want it. So if you want your shoulders massaged, you say, put your hands on my shoulders. And if you want it deeper, say deeper, harder. If you want them to use their fingernails to scratch the back of your neck, then you say, scratch the back of my neck. And again, this is non-sexual. This is, you're going to give your partner a massage to their liking because they are instructing you every single way. So that's a really great way. And then you switch and you just practice being very vocal about what your needs are and how you want it and what the pressure is going to feel like and how long you want them to be in one spot and where to move to next. And that's just like sex. Instruct your partner and let them know how it feels. And I don't recommend, I mean, for those of you who are massage therapists, is that what we're calling them? Are they massage therapists? Well, I'm trying to think. There's
that's
like
what
a,
they call
there's
my massage therapist.
Well, okay. That might be the proper terminology. I know that there's a, like, you don't call masseur. I think it's therapist is probably the proper way. I want to honor the profession because it's an amazing profession.
I just call her Nancy.
But when you get a massage, do you moan? Like, do you let your massage therapist know that
not really.
You like
I sleep.
Something? Yeah.
I sleep.
I always fall asleep and I hate that.
I love it.
You love falling
I love
asleep.
To sleep.
Okay,
hey,
here's something
so
else.
So let's go back real quick to your couple, right? This couple that is actually experiencing a degree of tension around the difference that they have here.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
he wants more, she wants less.
What do you do with them? Like, what do you do?
Okay, so, well, my recommendation was I want sex to be enjoyable for both of them because at this point, there's tension and it's mostly because he wants it, he's not getting it, and she doesn't want sex when he wants it. Sort of, okay, give your analogy because I thought it was brilliant. Give the analogy of the pie because I thought that it was really
brilliant. Yeah, I wish I knew it better. And so I don't remember where I first heard this, but it's kind of this idea of maybe the husband makes a pie and he's like, hey, I want you to eat this pie. And she's like, I'm not in the mood for pie. But I just made it and it's really important to me. Well, but I don't really want pie right now. I'd rather have dinner. Oh, well, but I made this pie. How about just a bite of this pie? You're not listening to me. Like I want to, you know what I mean? So there's constant, it's a different thing altogether.
Yeah.
And
for those of you who missed it, the pie is sex. He wants sex. Hey.
Yeah. And by the way, when you're looking for that metaphor on the internet,
don't search
Google
it.
Pie, sex, comparison, metaphor.
Not at work. Don't do it at work.
Don't click. Don't
personal
click
computer.
On it.
Yeah. Incognito.
You know, to me, like if that couple's in my office and maybe because I'm a man, I will look directly at him and say, so can I just get one thing clear? Are you suggesting that you want to have sex with someone that doesn't want to have sex with you?
Mm.
And he is mortified, right? Because having sex with somebody that doesn't want to have sex with you is assault or, and so I'm like, no, of course you don't. So part of what we have to train people to do is A, broaden their definition of sex, but also B, more importantly, broaden their definition of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the ideal situation there is where he says, hey, I'd really like to have sex with you. And she says, I don't really want to have sex. And you know what? I'll flip it over. She says, hey, I'd really like to have sex with you. And he says, I'm not in the mood.
Yeah.
What should happen next is for her to be able to go, okay, well, I'd like to have sex sometime. But what can we do now? Because I really feel connected with you and I feel like I want to relax in your presence. And Can we play a board game? Should we go for a walk? Maybe let's cook some food. Let's, how about we want, how about we wrestle? How about we just snuggle up and watch a show?
Yeah.
Some version of saying no doesn't mean I'm saying no to intimacy with you.
Right.
It means I'm saying no to intercourse with you.
Yeah.
And I think you got to play the long game, and you got to help couples learn how to play the long game, because, you know, if they average once a week, that could be, you know, zero times for a month and a half, but then eight times on vacation. And that could be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I think the other thing that I like to ask couples is, what does sex do for you? So when you desire sex, when you want to have sex and you're proposing this to your partner, whether it be you walk behind your partner while they're chopping in the kitchen with a knife and you just start groping them, and she gets like the clue, like, okay, I'm getting groped. He wants to have sex. Like, what is it that you want? Because sometimes it's, I'm horny and I just want to get my rocks off. Sometimes it's, I've missed you and I want to connect with you. And the deepest way that I connect with you is through sex. And I read the statistic.
Yeah, or I can't believe how lucky I am to be able to put my hands on these hips, you know, or
totally,
something.
Totally,
you know?
Absolutely. And so maybe sometimes it's a question of clarity of like, oh, okay, I get this. Like, what do you need? What do you desire? Do you desire my body, or do you desire like my mind and like being emotionally connected? Because that changes the game. Is this an opportunity for like what we call fast food, or is this like five course dining? Are we going to light the candles? Are we going to get a babysitter? Are we going to turn on some music? Are we going to give each other massages? And we're just going to really like deep breathe and try every position. That's the five course dining experience. We're going to hop in the shower and one of us is going to orgasm. The other person is going to feel great because they helped their partner orgasm. That
sure,
might be the fast food version. But I think having clarity around what is it that you're desiring is very important. And again, it all comes down to communication, talking about it, rather than making assumptions, which is where the resentment builds up. So, wait, I have a lot to talk about sex. I really think I should become a sex therapist, just really specialize, because I love talking about it. Okay. Remind me in a couple of years when I get bored. anything else that's important?
My pub is closing.
Yeah. Thing, and you're gonna go to Last Call, and what are you gonna order?
I've been there every day this week.
Yeah
And Rebecca and I, we have like a standing date that we go on sometimes on, well, we used to every Thursday, and then every important person in my life has been there with me, and
including me.
You
have been to Naked City with you, so that,
hey, we should, well, next time let's talk about Jacqueline and Jameson next time, because that was one of the highlights of my career.
Whatever you say. Yeah. Okay. So this is going to be coming out next week, and then Christmas, which is the holiday that we celebrate and we're getting together with our family members. That will be happening next week as well. And are you doing anything for New Year's? Do you have New Year's plans?
I'm going to go to Sean's. We're going to be down at Sean's house.
Cool. All right. Right on.
You should come.
No, I'm good. Thanks. I'm going to be back in, we're going to be hosting our own, fall asleep before midnight mommy party, where we just have a couple of friends over, and we're going to play games until we decide that we're tired and it's time to go to bed, and it's 11 o'clock.
We did that a few years ago. We hosted at our house what we called a geriatric New Year's Eve party.
Yes.
And we just did everything at 9 PM because you just tap into New York's feed and you're just like, ball's dropping. It's midnight. Okay. Good night, everybody. Bye. And we're all in bed.
Yeah. So you can take the Ubers and they're like, that's so crazy. I just dropped everybody off at a party and it looks like you're heading home. And you're like, yep, totally am.
Yep.
Missing all the drunks. It's great. It's safe on the road still. All right. Well, happy Christmas to you. Happy New Year's. And we will connect again in a week.
Yeah, right on. Okay. I'm going to go down to Naked City and have lunch.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Something important that I do want to share with all of you is we have a very important marriage clinic that's coming up on January 10th at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, so save the date. In order to join this one, you do want to become a patron of Marriage Therapy Radio at the $10 mark or more. The reason why I'm bringing this up is, for whatever reason, right around the holidays, couples in our lives, in our practice, seem to experience an uptick of infidelity right around the holidays. And infidelity, if it has affected your relationship, if it has been a part of your relationship in the last year, the last month, the last several years, we would love for you to join our marriage clinic. That's where we're going to be talking about the five truths of infidelity. And in the marriage clinic, you have an opportunity to interact in real time over a webinar with Zach and myself, where we will be teaching and talking and answering your questions. So please keep that in mind, January 10th at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you go to marriagetherapyradio.com, you can click on the tab that says Patreon and become a patron at the $10 mark or more per month so that you have access to our monthly clinics. Thanks so much for dedicating your time, your energy, and most importantly, investing in your relationship, making it better today than it was yesterday.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.